Well, I don't know about you, okay? But I find it to be a good thing. Say, it's a good thing. All right. It's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Tell me if you agree with the next statement, okay? There's no better place to be than in the house of God on any morning. Amen? Amen. And especially on a Sunday morning. Amen. Well, would you stand with me, please, and we will do our Bible declaration. One of the religious things that we do, all right? And it's a good thing. So just take your Bible and raise it to heaven and repeat this with me very loudly, okay? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. All right, I want you to say this with me this morning. Okay, and say it like it's really right at the foundation of what you believe, all right? So that means say it like you believe it, all right? God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good.
Who's he good to?
Me.
To me. Amen. Give him praise this morning. Give him praise. In seeking the Lord about what to preach this morning and what to give you this morning, I believe that God instructed me to talk to you about the creeping, nice, huh? About the creeping and controlling effect that compromise brings into your lives. No matter what, I don't care who you are in the kingdom of God, you've had some problem with compromise along the way. Maybe you're having a problem with compromise today. I know when I think about the compromise, the things that I let into my life that I shouldn't, I feel ashamed. Amen? I feel ashamed, not only because I feel, you know, I'm not, you know, not really rising to the occasion of being the Christian that I should be, but I just feel ashamed. You know, maybe I should say it a little bit different. The creeping, compromising effects that sin has in making its way back into the lives of Christians. Now, please listen to what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm getting at? This morning, we're not going to talk about a sin that's new to you, all right? We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about a sin that you've dealt with already, maybe struggled with and finally had victory over, an old sin, all right? Sin you thought was gone forever from your life. I'm talking about a sin that has now reappeared and replanted itself in your life. I'm talking about that older, forgiven sin that once again has come knocking at the door of your heart. That returning temptation, if you will, that maybe without even thinking about the consequences or of how hard you worked to get that sin out of your life before, you went ahead and you opened the door once again and you let it back in. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? I would think I'd be talking to everybody. There's something about old sin, if I can say it like that. Old sin, it still seems to hold the appeal it once had. Amen? It holds the same appeal. And it seems to have the same ability, if you will, to easily creep back into our lives, almost to the point that we don't even notice or see it coming. Do I speak from experience? Absolutely. Absolutely I do. And God knows, and I'm glad he's the only one that's going to have to know. But how many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? I mean, absolutely know what I'm talking about this morning. You tried so hard to get something out of your life, and then you open the door and let it come back in without even considering how hard it might be. And you know what I've found is when I open the door to something that I've gotten rid of, it is so much harder to get rid of the second time than it is the first time. I don't know why that is, but it is. At one time in your life, okay, you know, you did what you were asked to do by the Holy Spirit. You actually stood against this sin and got rid of it. And you were actually victorious, which is great. And you're walking in that victory, and it gave you great joy to know that you were walking in that victory. And thinking that you were forever free from whatever sin it was that so easily beset you. And everybody has a sin that easily takes you down. Amen? That doesn't mean you should let it stay in your life. In fact, the Bible tells us to set it aside. Don't go back to it. Leave it be. And there's a reason for that. But now, once again, you hear that familiar knocking, all right? And maybe it's knocking at the door of your heart right now. You know, can you hear it? You know, go. Come on. It's not so bad. Go ahead. But something has changed this time. The conviction you had, you no longer have. And you find yourself saying things like this, okay? I don't know why I thought that I had to get rid of that out of my life. I mean, that wasn't such a big deal in the first place. I mean, what's so big? What's the big deal? Hey, maybe God was just testing me to see if I would be obedient. Surely he couldn't have meant for me to never, ever do that again, right? I mean, it's really not so bad. Now wait for it. It's really not so bad. Other Christians do it. Say it with me. Other Christians do it. Why can't I? You know, if we use that as a standard, we'd all be in trouble. You know that? Because there's more drinking in the church, more drugs in the church, more immorality in the church than there ever was at an age before this. Sure, they struggled with that kind of thing at the very beginning of time, of the church, but I'm going to tell you right now, we have people and preachers and everybody is saying that it's okay, and it's not okay. It's not okay. Be holy because I am holy. We talk about people, we do things like that, and we think it's funny, and it goes on, and it gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, other Christians do it, right? They're pretty funny, too. Other Christians do it. Why can't I? Truly, when you start comparing yourself with other Christians, you're in trouble. You really, truly are. The Bible warns us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, not to do that. Remember what it says. It says, it talks about comparing ourselves among ourselves. And what does it say about it? It's not wise. It's not smart to do that kind of thing. Don't do it. Stay away from it. But I think it's time that we get completely honest. I don't care if you get honest with me, but get honest with yourself. Amen? You know, there's a statement a couple of times in the Bible where it says that we can deceive ourselves. There's nothing sadder than that, that we'd be deceiving ourselves, that maybe we'd come into church every Sunday morning deceiving ourselves. Or maybe we'd read our Bible every morning or pray every morning and just be deceiving ourselves, you know? Because God has been working on an area of your life that shouldn't be there. And you know it shouldn't be there. And you know you should get rid of it. Or you know you did get rid of it at one time and it's back, but other Christians do it, so it must be all right. But you know better than that. Amen? How many of you would agree with that this morning, that it's time to get honest with ourselves? Listen, and please hear me. I don't claim to know, okay, who this message is for this morning. Maybe it's for all of us. I would think it probably is. But I can say this much. There is somebody, okay, there is somebody who needs to take this message to heart this morning. There is somebody who needs to do more than just listen and file this sermon away like you have the others. There's someone who needs to do more than just listen and do nothing with it. There's somebody who needs to make the needed changes in their life that they know that they should have done so many times before to to get back to where they should be with the Lord. You know, I'm not silly enough to ask people to raise their hands, but has there ever been a time in your life when you've been closer to the Lord than you are right now? Yeah, we ebb and flow, but you know what? It's not okay to ebb and flow. And when you want that power in your life and you want the healing in your life and you want to be that person who can go out and say the right thing to the right people and watch them give their heart to the Lord. But then we say we're not where we were. Are you with me this morning? And there's somebody today who just needs to say no to the knocking, okay? Say no to the knocking at the moment the knocking starts. It's kind of like a, who's there? You can't even ask who's there. Because the reintroduction, if you will, of a familiar sin into your life is going to take you down a path, all right, that if you aren't careful, even if you are careful, it will take you farther than you want to go, okay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay and make you stay longer than you intended to stay. And I think, do we have that part? The next highlighted part? All right, this is what's said about sin, and it's so true. It's so true. It will take you down a path you don't want to go down. It will make you stay longer than you intended to stay. And it will make you pay more than you wanted to pay. And that's what sin does to us. Sin has this debilitating effect on our life. Anyways, okay. I want more than anything else to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So that's the direction that we're going to go this morning, all right? You know, I can get up here and I can preach this really neat sermon that has four T's in it or five Q's in it, and I can make the sermon rhyme so maybe you can remember that. Or I can tell you just what the Lord has put on my heart, okay? Because I think there's times, I mean, it's great to preach, you know, stuff that's good to hear and good to learn, and I do that, I hope, you know, but there's times when we as a people have just got to take a look. Are you with me? Okay. The title of the message this morning is Say No to the Knocking, okay? Say No to the Knocking. Gary, if you'd come up and pray for the sermon, please.
This is one of those days where it's not really fair to ask me to come after you give an intro like that. But I would be honored to pray. Let's pray. Father, as you've already gotten my attention this morning, God, I pray that you would get each person's attention, Lord, that's within hearing of this word, God, no matter when it is, if it's today, or if somebody stumbles across it on the internet. Father, let today be a day that we make the decision, God, to say no. Father, we thank you for Pastor Wes. God, I thank you that he does seek you for direction, Lord, so that we get to hear the message that you want to give. And Lord, as he does that today, I thank you that your power, God, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes through with your word, God, with your message. And Father, that you will just prick our hearts today, God, and I pray that we would respond accordingly, Lord, today and tomorrow and the day after as well. Father, just have your way in this place, God. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us.
Yes.
And revealing yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. I'm going to just lighten it up a little bit now, just so it isn't quite so heavy in here, okay? I got to tell you something that happened to me this week. Got nothing to do with the sermon. I was laying in my office. Yes, I was laying on my couch in my office. Haven't done that for probably 6 months, but I thought, hey, I'm kind of tired. I'll lay down. I heard a noise. I heard a noise again. I went, what in the heck is that? And I looked over in the corner, and I saw something. I thought, oh, great, I'm getting this thinking migraine back again, and I'm seeing things out of the corner of my eyes. It was a bat, okay? And I'm sitting in my office. Well, not after that. After I had screamed like a schoolgirl, okay, and run out the door, all I could find was a piece of wood, and I threw it at the bat. Anyway, long story shortened up. I saw the bat come up the ramp, you know. So I came after with the broom, you know. Get that bat, man. So the thing landed on the stained glass. And I couldn't really hit it, you know, because it break that glass. So I take the broom and I just push it up against it. And I'm thinking, I'll roll the thing around a little bit, you know, mess it up and let it go and think it's going to fall to the ground. Well, I went, ah, right at my face. After I screamed a second time, I took a step backwards, but I didn't think about the ramp that I was on. I hyperextended my leg, pulled my hamstring, went over myself down the... It was a mess. Funniest thing, doctor was on the phone. I was talking to her, you know, she was going to set me up for a pain shot from my back, and you know, I said, oh, I yelled a word, and it's not swearing, but it's not, all right, I yelled crap when the bat flew back in the room. And I mean, I yelled that. And I said, what, I told her what was going on. I said, you want to stay on the line while I get this bat, or you want me to call back? Man, she said, no, I'll wait. So she got to be, to listen to this whole thing, you know, me going, ah, boom, and then kaboom, 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 and me going, ah, 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 you know. I come back to the phone and I go, hello? When did you say that appointment was? It's fine, it's fine. She goes, okay, will you text it to me? Oh, yeah, we'll let you know when it's getting close. Thanks. Well, I called Jim and Mac and they came over and got the thing with the tennis racket. Well, I crawled home, okay? That was just to tell you what my week was like. You know, there are times when I think I just can't catch a break, you know? Either that or maybe it was a lot of years ago when I did some of the stuff that I keep trying to do now, you know? So, all right, I'm not getting old. I'm just maturing quicker than I want to, okay? All right. Now, I just said that because I don't want you to think that I'm up here trying to convict you, because I'm not. I mean, the Lord gave me this message, and what I hope happens is if you become convicted, this conviction of the Holy Spirit, not exactly what I say, but just that God is working in you and does something in you today. And like I told you 100 times before, you know, when I pray for the service, I pray that people would be able to walk out of here different, changed, okay? Closer to God, you know, closer and wanting God more than they did when they came in. And that's what I hope happens here today. I hope that maybe, you know, maybe again, it isn't a sermon that you just set on a shelf. You know, a lot of people take notes. I used to take notes. I don't know if I've ever read a single note that I've taken. I hope you're different, but... So be different today if you're not different than that. All right. Say no to the knocking, okay? I don't think there's any of us that don't have that incessant knocking to revisit something in our past that we know we shouldn't revisit. When the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, he received 7 messages to write to the 7 churches in Asia. Asia. I do that every time. Asia. Anyway, this is all recorded in Revelation chapter 7. And this is what happened. You might be familiar with it, but this is what happened. John's spirit had been literally pierced by the words that Jesus shared with him. And he was so convicted that he remembered with this great detail the Lord's loving rebuke that he gave to the seven churches. And it was concerning a sin that was trying to creep its way back into these seven churches. And even though John was talking to the seven churches in the letters he had written in the book of Revelation, he was and still is. And please, if you don't hear anything else, please hear this. He was and still is talking to individuals like you and I today. I mean, the Bible may have been written in antiquity, but it applies to today in reality. Okay? I want you to hear that. The Bible may have been written in antiquity, but it applies to today in reality. And God, the Holy Spirit, may address churches and organizations, and there's always, say always, there's always a message to be heard for the individual who is reading the Bible. There's the history of the Bible, then the application that you can give in your own life, that you should take into your own life. Are you with me? John knew from his vision on Patmos, okay, that the compromise of idolatry was trying to creep its way back into the early church. And John understood that there was an unfortunate willingness in believers to allow this compromise into their walk with the Lord. And this unfortunate willingness, which we have as well, this unfortunate willingness to compromise would not only jeopardize the church's holiness, but it would weaken the degree of power that the Holy Spirit could use to work among them. And last but not least, and maybe possibly most importantly, it would also do damage to their witness for Christ. Because I want you to know this morning, compromise always crushes a Christian's witness for Christ. It does. Sometimes you think that, well, maybe if I compromise on this, I can win that person to Christ. That doesn't work. They aren't looking for compromise. They're looking for something different. Amen? So compromise does not draw people. So then John very seriously and very solemnly admonished them with these words in 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Wait a minute, Wes. 1 John was written before Revelation. No, it wasn't. Many scholars say that it was written as much as 20 years after the book of Revelation. Okay? Again, little children, keep yourselves from idols. This was more than a strong warning for current and future believers. It was an extremely important warning for all of us that we should guard our lives against the evil in general that's looking for a way to get back into the mainstream of our lives. The evil that we at one time kicked out, that we now have accepted back in as being okay. You know, we may not have the same problem with idolatry that they had. And we can talk about football being an idol. We can talk about baseball being an idol, basketball. But I'm not talking about that this morning. So we don't really have the same problem they had that he was addressing. But evil has its way of creeping back into our lives and put itself in a knocking position. Something that you said, never again, never again. How many people have quit smoking and never again? And then what happens? They find themselves smoking again. How many people quit drinking? How many people have, you know, done away with drugs in their lives? Do you understand what I say? We've said it before, and the truth is this, okay? The enemy never quits. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Where tempting us to compromise is concerned. He'll knock at the same door that he gained entrance into your life in the past. And if you are caught sleeping, and many of us too many times are caught sleeping in our relationship with the Lord, we're not giving it the priority that we should. We're not really seeing the importance anymore in our life. And that's, you know, what I see so often in mature Christians. And I remember when I was growing up in the Lord and still am, but, you know, I wanted more than anything to be a Christian who had at least 10 years under his belt. Well, now I've got, and I forget every time. Oh, really? 41 years, almost. I don't want to lie to you. almost 41 years under my belt. But you know what? I find now with having that much time of being a Christian, there's times when I was more on fire back when I accepted the Lord than I am right now. And I find myself letting things back in that at one time I thought were terrible. And maybe I didn't know how they were terrible, but I knew this much, that God was saying, this has got to get out of your life. I wasn't looking to other people to see what they took out of their life. I was interested in seeing what God had to take out of my life. And now I look back at that in the last 40 plus years, okay? And there were some things that were so difficult to get out of my life. They were just hard. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you wanted them gone, but it was just hard. And then I look again, and I let them right back in. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? You let them back in. But the results of letting the enemy back in, you know, when he can knock on a door and you open it and it turns into an entrance, he will run through that entrance as quickly and decisively as he can. And the results will be, I'm sorry, they will be catastrophic. So the question is, you know, how do we silence the knocking when it comes? Because it comes to every single one of us. And if you're going to sit there and tell me, well, you know, Wes, I'm not tempted anymore. Well, I'm going to say this. One time, a friend of mine, I won't tell you, it was Felix. He was asking his uncle, well, uncle-in-law or whatever it was, but he asked him, oh, Grandpa, it was Grandpa, I'm sorry. It's Grandpa, and he said, Grandpa, when does a man quit lusting after a woman? You know what he said? I'll let you know. He was 80 years old. And maybe that's not your problem, but you know, if something was attractive before, it's still going to be attractive now. I'm sorry. If he was able to come in a door before, he'll be able to come in that door again if you aren't careful. But how do we silence the knocking when it comes? I'm sure that you remember Jesus when he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And you've probably even heard this same type of message preached. The account of this experience is found both in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, and it goes like this. All right, Jesus was tempted by Satan to do what he knew was wrong, and Jesus came out victorious. Why? And you probably know this, because he used the strength of the sword of the Spirit, or the Bible, if you will, to fight his enemies. In other words, Jesus used the word of God to fight Satan. Please hear me. Never underestimate the speaking of Scripture at your temptation. It makes a difference. And that's something that I've noticed that was really, really important to do when I first got saved. I was memorizing Scripture. I was doing everything I could to get that Word of God in my heart. And when a temptation would come up, if I hadn't already memorized it, I would go memorize something that would come against the temptation. Because I want you to know this too. We can silence the noise of the knocking of temptation and compromise the same way Jesus did by speaking the word of God to it. Yes. All right? And again, please hear me. And see, victory is never denied when the word of God is applied. Amen? You know, it's not up to me to back up the word of God. It's up to God to back up the word of God. Amen? Amen? I don't have a lot more to go, so you can relax. Well, maybe not yet. When I was writing this, I was reminded of how the Word of God is likened to a two-edged sword. And maybe you will remember this. The first edge of that sword is when God speaks it. Amen? And then it said that the second edge of the sword is when we speak it. All right? See, because there is power that comes out of us when we speak the Word of God. Amen? You never forget that. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm willing to put that second edge on the sword by having that the Word of God buried in my heart so that I can call on it when it's needed. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 All right. But there is power in speaking the word of God. Let me give you an example of the enemy's tenacity in the temptation of Jesus. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 4:13. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, listen to how it says it in the Amplified. And when the devil had ended the complete cycle of temptation, he temporarily left him, that is, stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time came. The enemy never gives up. You might get tired. You might get tired of memorizing the Bible. You might get tired of reading your Bible, but the enemy never gives up. He always comes back. He will always look for a more opportune time. He did it with Jesus. He'll do it with you. He will wait for a more favorable time to return and bring that same old temptation, knocking at the same old door, hoping that this time he will catch you sleeping and gain a re-entrance into your life. Listen again to what John wrote in 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. You know, since 1 John 5:21 is a living word of God, how many of you are glad that God's word is a living word of God? All right. It doesn't just speak to its readers at the time of the writing of the Bible. And I've said this already, but it also speaks to you and I today. And it will speak to believers as loudly and as powerfully tomorrow as it did when it was written. I mean, that's an amazing thing about the Word. And glory to God, that ought to make you shout this morning that you have such a viable weapon to come against the enemy. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So we're to put the whole armor of God on. Part of that armor is the Word of God. And we can't neglect that. Anyway, we're told to keep ourselves from the evil and from the sinful behavior that would try to creep back into our lives. The word keep in this verse is the Greek word phileo, okay? It's a word that occurs 400 times in the Old Testament and 31 times in the New Testament. It describes the guarding and protecting of something, such as the guarding of a house or the guarding of your property or the guarding of your possessions. It's even used for the guarding of graves, okay? And it denotes the alertness or sleepiness of the person who is doing the guarding. The word phileo could also imply the safekeeping of something that is entrusted to someone. It was often used in a military sense, all right? It described a garrison or a guard. To phileo, or to keep something, demanded that a person was loyal to the task of keeping. In other words, they were never lazy. They were never lethargic, never lackadaisical, always alert. And to keep something means to be always alert, okay? Keep yourselves from idols. Always be on the alert. Keep yourself from evil. Always be on the alert. There's never a time when you can sit back and say, hey, right? If an individual doing the keeping fell asleep on the job, the consequences, could be massive. And because of that, they had to be wide awake and fully alert at all times. Now that's speaking to you and I, okay? Nobody's going to be wide awake and fully alert for you. Amen? It's got to be you. It's got to be you. The interpretation of this Greek word means that we are to remain wide awake, all right? We are to stay on guard every moment of every day, once again, never becoming lazy, lethargic, or lackadaisical. And it means we are to constantly, all the time, defend ourselves against the evil, just as a military garrison defends its strategic position. Are you with me? In other words, all right, we should never be caught snoozing in our spiritual state. When John commanded his readers to keep yourselves from idols in 1 John 5:21, he was urging them to stay on the alert, okay, regarding the danger of idolatry, but not just idolatry. And I want you to understand this. The warning for them and the warning for you and I is to stay alert regarding any sin and its return, no matter how small, no matter how great. You know, there's people who have been delivered from addictions, drugs, you know, the street drugs, whatever, maybe they're prescription drugs, and they have a hard time even taking an aspirin now because they don't want to go near it. You know, you know what I'm saying? And I've told you this before, too. When I quit smoking, I wouldn't pick up a cigarette, but I just wouldn't touch one because I knew what a hold it had on me. I knew how many times I quit and how many times I ended up restarting and letting the thing back in. Amen. And I'm not saying you're going to go to hell if you're smoking. You know, some pastors say it just makes you smell like you've been to hell. I wouldn't say that, okay? But we have to stay alert, that's all. But we all know that, don't we? I mean, that's kind of Christianity 101. Sin knocks on the door of our heart and attempts us to open the door to compromise. But there's something that we have to understand about the tense that is used in the scripture. The tense is used in the word philosso, okay? The tense of the Greek stresses a continuous responsibility, which indicates that the keeping of ourselves from evil, if you will, must be constantly covered and never neglected. Well, I thought after I got to be a mature Christian, I wouldn't have to work. No, you got to work hard. You got to work hard at it, okay? Because it's absolutely essential that we stand firm, steadfastly refusing to compromise in the face of any temptation. And please have a scripture to defend your position. When we first got saved, every time we saw a scripture in the Word of God that seemed to apply to something that we were going through, it would go on a 3x5 card and go on the mirror in the bathroom or on the refrigerator. It got so we couldn't even see in the mirror. You know, it'd be like, you know, ow! That's why I grew a beard. No, not really. Maybe you think that you shouldn't have to defend your position. But again, we wrestle not. Well, wait a minute. The devil's defeated. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? Maybe you think you're fighting against your mother-in-law. No, chances are you're... I shouldn't use that one. Okay, what am I saying? The door to your heart has to remain guarded. And the knocking has to be ignored. It has to be. And it's no one's responsibility but yours. And again, the title of this message, you must say no to the knocking. And let me just try to say, to explain this like this, okay? People have thought, they've been, and I'm going to use alcohol, okay? People have been delivered from alcohol. That is one of the things that can grab a hold of you, and if you think you've got a master over that, you don't, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, you don't. It can grab a hold of you. But they thought, you know, after a while, well, I'll just go in the bar. Oh, really? And then what ends up happening eventually? Other people do it. Unfortunately, other Christians do it. And they get sucked right back in. If there's something that sucked you in before, you still have the propensity of being sucked in again. You are a new creature in Christ, but some of the old things still hang on. Maybe they shouldn't, but they do. And I could say this thing about that's why we live our lives on purpose, you know, and that is why we live our lives on purpose. You know, that's what we have for a vision for the church. We have to stand guard against unwanted intrusions and, you know, that try to get in. I'm just trying to explain this to you, okay? A man, and I would imagine a woman too, But a man who's been delivered of lust can't even drive down the highway without seeing billboards that can take his mind to go somewhere else. And you can't let that thing knock on your mind for a minute, for a second. And I say women too, because that's what I've heard. But not being a woman, I can't really say I know. But compromise is so subtle. It's so subtle that we seldom see it, and especially we don't see it coming. And so many times it's established before we have a chance to stop it. And the reason why that is one, we become lazy in the scriptures as we grow up in the Lord. And we don't say no to the knocking. Maybe we think that we can just visit it once. And I guess that's enough. But what I want to say to you this morning is, if there is something that you have let back in your life, all right, I shouldn't say it like that, because everybody has to come to the altar now, right? That's like asking a group of Christians, hey, if you want more of God, come to the altar. What are you doing in your pew, you know? But the truth is, there are times in our lives where there seems to be opportunity to get rid of things. This is one of those opportunities. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you swore you'd never drink cream in your coffee again. But chances are it's something different than that. You know, I want to be able to make this altar available to you and to myself, okay? But make it available to you so that you can come up here and you can stay here until you feel a release, until you feel it's gone, until you feel God has done something in your life. And I don't know why God doesn't seem to do things right away all the time, but sometimes it takes some just, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't do it anymore. Tarrying before the Lord. And that just simply means we just sit before the Lord, lay before the Lord, kneel before the Lord, and just stay there until you feel a release. I have done that. And it has made a huge difference in my life. And so I want to try to reintroduce that tarrying, if you will, where the praise team would come up, and I'm going to ask you to come up, where the praise team would seriously play until you felt a release to go back to your seat or to walk out that door. And we can't do that when we always have something to do after the message. I only know it worked in my life and continues to work in my life. So why don't you stand with me? All right, listen, the altar is open. Nobody can look at anybody, because if anybody, if we were all to be quite honest, we couldn't stay in our seats. And I'm not saying you gotta come up, but I'm just saying that today is an opportunity for you, if you've let something back in your life, to get it out of your life again. And it might be small, it might be really, really minuscule, but you know what? It's those things that start in your life that opens the door for the bigger things. Maybe you thought, you know, one time I'm gonna listen to Christian music. I have to, you felt convicted, but now you do more than that. And it seems so small. I'm not saying it's wrong, but if you were convicted of it, at one time there was a reason for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, And so I'm going to go to the altar, okay? Doesn't matter what I'm going for, okay? And I want to make the altar open for you, just to come up here and sit before the Lord, to kneel before the Lord, to ask for the help that you need, to be as honest as you can be before the Creator. You might as well be, because He knows anyway. Amen? So I open the altar, okay, for you to come if you like. I'm going to be the first one here, so.